It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar. Oh,
that one in.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 976.
Happy Weird Wednesday, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Also known as Hump Day.
It is. Tell you something weird.
Yeah.
Not weird. What's your vibe on, I mean, you don't have a kid. This is actually the best because mm-hmm. I can ask you and then you can give me
a real answer.
Do you think parents don't give real answers to each other?
No. As in, I don't have that experience. So, maybe I can give something that's slightly different than the average.
Yeah. Bodhi is a sponge. Mm-hmm. Kids are sponges. I mean- mm-hmm. They're as dirty as a sponge.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know you hate sponges.
I hate sponges.
Is this why you're not having kids?
Yeah. Yeah. I hate sponges, yeah.
That is the funniest little bit where I threw you a sponge.
It's really gross.
Have you actually not touched a sponge
in
a while?
No, I just use the ones with the handles on them. That's really pathetic, isn't it?
We know why you love handles.
It's a squeegee reference.
No, so Saturday night... having a little fun time with Bodhi's friend who was mm-hmm. over. I mentioned yesterday the pizzas in the backyard, but Amy had a playlist. She's got a playlist going on Spotify. It's her pregnancy. It's her like go time playlist. So when the baby's
a
coming.
Push playlist.
Well, it's kind of like when you get to the hospital and you got to, you know, set it all up, you get the playlist going.
Mm-hmm.
There's in your mind and then there's reality. In reality, it could go out the window, but at least you have the playlist.
What sort of songs are we talking?
Dude. I had a go at her this morning about her playlist because I'm thinking.
So she's playing it before, like, surely there's something in holding on to them and only, you know, if you're going to play Eye of the Tiger, play it as you're coming out onto the court rather than every single day.
Yeah, because then it doesn't fire you up. So she's put in her favorite songs, some really great stuff in there. It goes from, you know, almost like the what's his name? Ben Harper. No. Just some like sort of melodic stuff, mm-hmm. but into then some hip hop, some like sick tunes. One being N-Word in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know this song, Jay-Z, Kanye West, it's off their Watch the Throne album. One of the best albums. I think it's Watch the Throne. One of the best albums. Collaboration between the two. One of the best albums between them, I reckon. And this one, N-Word, you know what that is, mm-hmm. in Paris, mm-hmm. is one of the songs. And so on the artwork of it is N and then it's mm-hmm. like, you know what it means, but they mm-hmm. don't spell it out.
Mm-hmm.
In the song, they say it
yeah.
out loud.
Quite an aggressive lyric
It's a sick song.
Mm-hmm.
And as a white guy, I get around
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But you obviously can't be mm-hmm. screaming the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's now Bodhi's favorite song.
Oh, really?
And
wait,
so
is it Amy? Is it on Amy's playlist?
Yeah, which she was pumping at our Saturday night pizza night in the backyard. And so N in Paris was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a time where you're like, oh, just, it's a great tune. I hope they don't sort of catch on to it.
Mm-hmm. And he has. Yeah, I mean,
he's caught on to it.
Yeah.
And he thinks the song's called Knickers in Paris.
Yeah, sure.
Which
it's still.
It's too close.
It's problematic. Yeah.
It's way too close.
Uh-huh.
And so I've really, it's like, he says, can you play that song? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, Knickers in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm like the fumbling parent who's like, no, oh, so you're like the knickers, like underwear, like your knickers mm-hmm. you've got on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, knickers.
Yeah, you're like, well, we can't play that song anymore.
But I found the radio edit,
okay.
which drops it
mm-hmm.
in Paris. Like mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it's like the grabs a back end sure. of something.
Mm-hmm.
But dude.
I remember as a kid, there was a song, On Your Venus,
Your Desire. Yeah.
And
that's pretty tame, isn't it?
I would always sing it, on your penis. And I knew what the words were, but it would always get a reaction.
Yeah.
The song that my mum gave birth to me playing.
Actually, I know this.
I know this. Yes. Yes.
Wow. I mean, what was it? A record player back then?
Yeah. Was a.
How would have they been playing that? Like through a.
Right on the radio. Oh,
okay. So that's like her birth song was whatever
played on Gold FM. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a wild thing. You make my heart sing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Do you know who we've lost?
Who?
Stella.
Lost her weeks ago.
Yep. Picked my nose yesterday.
No, Stella couldn't handle the
lyrics.
The nose content.
Yes, and also singing.
Well, that's interesting because, and so my thing with the, it's all about Amy and what she wants in that moment.
Yeah. I'm surprised, like, she doesn't seem like a real heavy rap kind of person. I would have thought Missy Higgins over Missy Elliott, you know, in regards to genre. No?
No, I mean, she loves all of that stuff too, but like.
What else is on the playlist?
Oh, God, I could probably look. Couldn't I?
Well, yeah, because you are logged into her account.
We only have one Spotify account. How do you find artists, albums, playlists?
Yep.
Go time. Yeah, great. Here we go. Leon Bridges. Oh, he's beautiful.
Don't know it.
Alabama Shakes. Mm-hmm. Frank Ocean. Great. See, this is all the stuff I don't know. Agnes Obel. Sufjan Stevens. Fleetwood Mac. Yep. Neil Young. Yeah, Kanye West. More Kanye West. ASAP Rocky.
Do you think you're a
Kendrick music- Lamar?
Oh, my God.
Humble. Sit down. Be humble.
That's nice.
Well, it's a
are you a music? Do you think you're a music guy? Like,
I'm not like Amy. Like, Amy.
Amy's more of a music guy than you are.
Well, she studied music at uni.
Sure. And so she's into it as well. Like, because I think of her as like someone who sings or whatever, but not like necessarily getting into artists. So she loves artists.
Well, she knows a lot more than I do.
When was the last concert you two went to together?
God, it was probably one for me. 360, the rapper.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing well now. He had a pretty severe drug addiction and then sort of.
It was like Panadol,
fell
wasn't
into
it?
Oh, dude, he was smashing.
Mm-hmm.
Neurofen pluses, yeah, or codeine, things that had codeine, but he was real bad. Like, he's come from a real dark place. He's just been starting to post a bunch on his Instagram and he started rapping again. But man, depression's a deep fucking hole. It's very hard to get your way back. He's just said that he went to Southland, which couple of weeks ago.
I mean, what's that going to do to your mental health?
I know. But for a guy that hadn't been out in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Why go to Southland?
It's like I randomly.
I could go anywhere. Could go to the Dandenongs. Dude. Could go to see nature.
Maybe it's a
extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like he went there and he said that someone came up to him and was like, mate, I fucking have gone through what you have, drug addiction. Like, and he said it was the sweetest thing.
Oh, that's nice.
He's just got the courage to do it.
So he's on social media or is
that? He's on Instagram, but he disappeared for a long time. 360 Aussie rapper. I saw him when I was like 13 years old, probably 12.
Has he been around that long?
Well, he was doing like freestyle rap battles as a young dude. And I remember seeing him at one in Melbourne. This thing called Run Amok. My mate, Conspiracy Jimmy and I used to go to rap battles. And I'd see people like, you know, it was like a real, it was the Lad Eshay scene of today. Was back then graffiti artists dressed in TNs and
well, I did
echo
film
jackets.
Something for Conspiracy Jimmy when they were on. It was at Revolver, and that was a new clothing line. And I just remember filming and zooming, and they'd say, "When I say B Town, you say clothing. B Town clothing.
I like it."
yeah, it was, and there was a lot of sort of like bopping going on. I wonder if Jimmy remembers B Town clothing.
No, he does.
Do you remember B-Town clothing?
I remember the talk of it, but I never was at that event.
So I filmed. There's a New York Times video series. It's called Diary of a Song.
Diary of a Song.
Yeah. So it's like Taylor Swift talking about like deconstructing a song. And so they get bits from like the producer, the artist who made the song Driver's License. It starts off like that.
No, from Taylor Swift?
No, it's not a Taylor Swift. It's someone else. It's a... people are...
Mate, all yesterday, me trying to sing to Amy like do exactly what you just did. And she's uh-huh. like, I don't get it.
No, so the I'm sure
tone deaf.
I mean, this we're going to be absolutely trolled for doing this based on reading out lyrics. But I got my driver's license last week, just like we always talked about, because you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your house.
Whose song?
Her name's Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay.
Ex-Disney.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about this. Yes. This is the song that you were reading out.
I read.
It's Stella left the episode. Yes. You've just lost two more people.
Who?
Bella.
We're probably gaining some people. But so there was a great video of Olivia describing going through how it was all created. Yeah. And she actually swears in the song. She thought that was cool, like, you know, just trying to get rid of her sort of younger image.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to shake it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not consideration for people that aren't famous, like mm-hmm. shaking your younger image. Yeah. Maybe there's something about shaking, like I've felt over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. No, maybe, 5 years. You shake the younger brother thing mm-hmm. and you really start coming into yourself. You're coming into your own. You're either doing something where you feel like you don't need to be treated as that younger brother needing to be lifted up. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a vibe.
I think that I always was pushing back on it. Like I've always acted like a 50-year-old. But I think that you like definitely, you've seen it with you over time, I think.
Yeah,
just like the expectations of like, you're lifting up your brothers or the people around you.
Well, it's a bit of an out clause mm-hmm. as a younger sibling or as an individual to mm-hmm. have other people looking after you. You know, like it's an out clause to maybe not take the responsibility, or you can take more risks when you're younger because you've got more time, or you can see it that way and see how people would like, I'll have a crack at this, doesn't mean I'll make any money. Mm-hmm. Like you and I having a conversation yesterday about how there's one part of your mind that wants to go and do the creative thing that makes no money. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, that's fucking going backwards at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. And so how do you not get trapped into that?
Have you started listening to Derek Sivers' audiobook?
Listen to the first 4 minutes.
It's quite good. So Derek Sivers, he wrote a blog post initially called Hell Yeah or No.
Which is turned into a book.
He's turned it into a book. So he's got a bunch of he wrote a book called Everything You Want. He founded a business called CD Baby, which revolutionized the way that music artists would publish their music. Mm. So it was always very hard to get, I don't know if it's the same term, but you know, like an ISBN number, which you get for like a book for authors.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's like I think it's called an ISBN. Let's have a look what an ISBN number.
Not an ISDN.
No. So an ISBN is like a database that has all books and stuff. And there's something like that for, if I type in music, like there's a similar thing for music CDs. Yeah, ISBN for books, magazines, and CDs. Anyway, to be able to get onto Amazon and to get onto iTunes and to sell, you would need to get an ISBN. And CD Baby would make it easy so that indies could get access to that. And so Derek Sivers started this. He is a musician turned entrepreneur, sold it for $10 million or whatever, and then decided he was living in the US. He's completely moved to New Zealand and then moved to the UK and then has come back to New Zealand. But a very interesting-
But an American dude.
Yes. Really interesting guy, writes back to all of his emails.
You've hit him up. Didn't you interview him or something?
So when the Minimalists went to Auckland-
That's right.
They interviewed Derek on stage. And so
can
I did
you
like
email him and say, hey, mate, it's a camera guy from the
well,
shoot.
Well, he does. He writes back to everything. But he-
So his new book, Hell Yeah or No.
$15, you buy it on his website, you get a DRM-free copy, which is like digital rights management, so you don't have to worry about it playing in Audible or whatever, which is actually, to be honest, sometimes the DRM-free thing is a little bit more confusing because it's like, how do I actually play this? And so it's like, I've got to get VLC on my phone.
Is that what did you do?
I actually just played it directly off iCloud.
Through the browser.
Through the files thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think it's a, is he, so he was asked himself that question, would you like to go with a publisher? And he said, hell no.
Mm.
Didn't say hell yes to that. Yeah. So he's doing it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. Is there, what have you taken from, how long, how many minutes have you listened to?
So it goes for 2.5 hours or whatever.
Which is digestible. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
He wrote a book called Everything You Want, which was all about his journey with CD Baby. And he's just very aligned with, you know, thinking around things like social media or just all that sort of stuff. Mm. Yeah, I think I just like when I met him, he would have his computer and he would like use like DOS or some sort of old. He had no like graphical interface. He was coding to like open his computer and he would write his blog posts coding.
Does is that before he made the money or
after? So he made all the money, and then when he moved to New Zealand, the only thing that he was really doing was he would journal for hours a day, just journaling, personal journals.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because a lot of people get trapped in the thought of what would I do if money wasn't the problem?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I think it's okay to say not what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Because you'd have resources to do something else. Mm-hmm. You'd have the means to focus on something else.
Which it won't fix. It won't fix all your problems.
Exactly, exactly. But it's there is a plethora of books that are written by people
mm-hmm.
who have had to go through this that horrible moment of realizing, fuck, I'm not the person I want to be. Mm-hmm. I'm so out of alignment. But these people who are writing these books have also managed to sell the business for a mm-hmm. lot of money.
Yeah. Have you heard of George Soros?
George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bad character.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Sounds like a...
Do you know anything about him or no?
Give me a... I'm thinking of...
You probably are. I could imagine some of the stuff.
The billionaire dude.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's up to no good. He's connected to old mate... Old mate Epstein?
I don't know. The we watched a doco. So there's the Jewish International Film Festival. He's a billionaire. So Jewish International Film Festival, Lido, a bunch of different cinemas. I think there's a few cinemas involved playing films. And so we saw Soros on the weekend, very sort of the right conservative hate him. So like Fox News, he's a guy who... grew up during sort of the Holocaust stuff and was, hiding in Budapest. And he ended up making a heap of money through banks. He was a hedge fund guy. But he, over the last 20 or so years, has been investing all of it into all these different types of causes. So it's all, the interesting thing is that the causes, most of the ones that I would see, it's like, you know, it's things that are really positive. But then you also see that the money only goes so far, or it sort of creates a world of its own.
Mm. I just looked, is he the guy that is a owner of Moderna? The people that are creating one of the vaccines
they didn't talk about it in the doco, but it was just interesting because he's hated by a bunch of people, and even Bree and I were listening to a guy next to us who's just fucking grumpy. He's like, I don't fucking like him. I don't like him. And then his wife's like, oh, don't be like that. Like even after thing, they're showing all the philanthropic things that he's done. Like he would go into countries like Myanmar and all these places that have had huge amounts of turmoil and would try and provide support. Talking about open societies, which is sort of another take of democracy. So it's like rather than being too rigid in the democracy thing, it's just like because he's a Jewish guy that's, went through everything that was happening with the Nazis, he's like, I want to, you know, look after people that are minorities, basically.
Well, you see the link people who sway towards, you know, the conspiracy or the view on rich people who are doing good stuff, that it's then connected back to money. So Bill Gates.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, well.
So he's more, so Soros is more controversial than Bill Gates. So he, because Soros has really aligned with some of these political things like, you know, like Black Lives Matter, all of this sort of stuff. A lot of the right-wing media like Fox News were, you know, talking about this is all of his money that's creating all of this violence. And he would also give more money to things than governments would. So he would go into these places and actually be providing more. And so the question is, are individuals, like, what happens when individuals have that much power, whether they're doing things for good or not?
Yeah.
Just the impact on one individual trying to say what's right and what's wrong and where they're putting the money.
Which can be a slippery slope, massively.
Well, but also you can, his whole thing was like trusting people and then until they break the trust.
Mm.
And there was a bunch of issues with Myanmar with, what's it called? Like cleansing, like religious, ethnic cleansing and things like that, which he was obviously completely against, but that stuff started happening. And so he not only gave a bunch of money, but then ended up having to go in and try and fix all the issues. I don't know anything about this shit.
What's hard is that you don't know what to believe, because if you type in right now,
George
Soros, George Soros conspiracy, you'll like, if you look for shit about him, you'll find it. If you look for positive, you'll find it. How do you know? It's like the Royals, mate.
Yeah.
whose side do you want?
I think
it's not as easy as that. That's people want. They want one side. Mm-hmm. Not the nuance of it, because it's easier to digest and understand the one side. He's a bad dude.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the and also stuff like QAnon probably hasn't helped all of the conspiracies.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the sense that you got is so what people are angry about seems to be around, you know, if you are super conservative and you've got someone who is left-leaning that's putting heaps of money into these things that's against what you want the world to be or what you think it should be, you perceive him as a bad guy. Mm. Whereas, like, there is nuance, and I don't know about the they didn't go into any of that dark stuff. But there was the start of the documentary was all about showing the Fox News stuff, showing his critics, and then once you see that, you open with the doco thinking, oh, this guy's not great, and then you actually hear him speak and you see what he's actually doing, and it's definitely a different perspective than you can see how quickly a little bit of information around, oh, this person's a bit dodgy, or, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. Like, all you have to say is Jeffrey Epstein nowadays, and it's like okay, because it's so.
How annoyed are all the people that were connected to that guy, but like
just wanted a free plane?
They just just something so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh no, like Chris Tucker's caught up in that. The actor.
Oh yeah, what's he done?
Well, he flew on the Lolita Express, and so, but like, this is just little bits of info that I'm gathering from my QAnon newsletter I get every week. No, I'm joking.
Your Substack.
My Substack. No, but this is little bits that you see, but then it forms an opinion about these people.
Yeah.
Imagine realizing, holy shit, fuck it. If you did get caught up, you're like, oh my God, they're onto, I'm now a part of a conspiracy, like some fucking full deep QAnon conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's next level shit. But maybe that, I mean, what the one takeaway from Meg and Harry, the prince interview, they didn't look at the stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't looking. So maybe there's billionaires that just don't care. Mm-hmm. They're actually on a yacht.
Yeah.
And they're like, why would I care? Why would I bother?
He was saying, Soros was saying that he was pretty depressed at times with stuff.
I thought money bought happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's also, I think that what people are funny about is any one individual thinking that they can have the amount of impact that he was having. So it's like, it requires, like, most people don't think that they can change the world. And if you think that you can change the world, you are tweaked.
Definitely.
And so you look at people like Elon Musk and you're like, tweaked.
Which is why he's got so far.
Do you remember
but there's probably more tweaked people that think something that they're totally not capable of. And you see someone like Elon Musk, he is a genius. Like, his brain works in a different way to the 99.99% of the population.
But he can also have flawed thinking. I think, like, the interesting thing about a bunch of these people is it's like you can be really on the money about certain things, but then other things being completely off. And that's like the hard thing is, like, if you are really good at maths, if you're a maths genius, it doesn't mean that you have a bunch of insights on all these other things. Whereas, like, I think that we're so black and white that, so say using the word genius, saying Elon Musk is a genius, it feels like it removes the nuance of Elon Musk is probably wrong a bunch of times, and there's probably a bunch of things where.
But if you back to the like in its essence, because people like myself have referred to Kanye West as a genius. There's a different levels of genius. You could maybe say his IQ is through the roof. Might not, I don't even know if it is, but it's
who's
Elon Musk, not Kanye West, but just in terms of classic level genius. Someone who is book smart on many things and has embodied and experienced a lot of problems and solving of problems, which is how you get to something like SpaceX.
Have you heard of CRISPR?
Yeah, the gene modifying, so you can modify your genes.
Yeah.
Basically, you can change the genetic makeup. You could go from a mesomorph to an endomorph. Someone so who puts on fat or takes away, but even like to cancer cells and it's full fucking test tube science. Yeah. In my mind, it's like a movie where they're fucking modifying a little baby and it comes out and it's got blue eyes. Yeah. That's what they're doing with it.
And so Walter Isaacson, I think that's his name. He wrote the Steve Jobs biography. He he's written a bunch of like big biographies.
Imagine getting famous for writing other people's life stories. Yeah,
Benjamin Franklin. He's done heaps, but he's got a new book out called Codebreaker, which is all about CRISPR. And apparently you know, there's a bunch of legal stuff in it. So who was the first person to come up with it? Who owns the patent? And just also
like Bitcoin, no one knows, but there's an Aussie guy that was claiming it was him.
Yeah, and then if you think about it too, there's a it's the moral stuff, right? Like I remember.
Should you be able to decide the color of someone's eyes or the sex of your child?
Yeah, and then it goes way deeper than that, right? Like it can go, but even things like rather than using vaccines, using things like genetic modification to be able to remove disease.
Dude, the amount that you can already find out in 2021 about your unborn child, like chance of chance of not being able to have children.
Oh, interesting.
Like you can find that out.
Popularity on Instagram. Likelihood. Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, I opted for a high YouTube subs over a Snapchat.
Yeah,
but
low on Pinterest, but who cares?
If our next child comes out and she and YouTube's gone by then, she'll be fucking pissed.
But there was a did you ever watch the documentary? There was a guy in San Francisco who was doing a bit of a backyard garage style job with the CRISPR stuff. He got in heaps of trouble. He was sort of saying that he was being sort of suppressed, but he was doing some experiments, and the documentary had like people making animals change, like go glow, like glow in the dark.
What?
Yeah. I think it's on Netflix.
I mean, I've heard some people talk about how they've probably got a human clone out there. Like, I mean, I don't even know how to fathom that. They've managed to build, create a human in a test tube. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's out there in the world, but
yeah. Didn't that happen? Have you seen the cloning thing? Do you remember? Like, I feel like it was the '90s. We were kids, but there was the sheep or the lamb.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
If that was happening in the '90s, they're doing humans, dude.
Yeah, but the thing was that it was, cloned lamb from stem cells.
Jeez.
Dolly.
Yeah. Dolly. Yeah, yeah, Dolly. Yeah.
July 5th, 1996.
Yeah.
To February 14, 2003 was a female domestic sheep and the first mammal cloned from an adult somatic cell using the process of nuclear transfer, obviously.
Wow. I mean, this is the thing we don't know.
Lived 9 years. Is that good for a sheep? Actually, less than that.
I've eaten younger.
Wait. Wait, 4 plus 7 years. 7 years.
I've eaten younger.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that just like...
Lamb.
Good piece of lamb just mm-hmm. comes out. It's horrible
yeah.
to think about. But I mean, for instance, is that, so connecting it to humans eating these mm-hmm. animals, is it more humane to eat a lamb that has been created in a lab mm-hmm. than one that was naturally created in a field?
Well, they're even talking about turning pigs into organ holders. So it's like using CRISPR and stuff to build out organs
inside the
pigs Jesus that we Christ. Then use.
But is it? Answer the question.
Ask it again.
Is it?
So you can't even remember.
Is it more ethical to mm-hmm. eat?
Yeah, I mean that's
a
very hard.
Lamb that is built in a lab, made in a lab, than uh-huh. one that's conceived naturally in a field. Yeah, it's a fucking hard question because. It's so many elements.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I think my mind goes to the lab one because it didn't go through the natural process. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, this is the dilemma.
At what point
dilemma.
Does it become like an animal that's got all of the properties that, say, a vegan wouldn't like? Like, so do vegans, will vegans
consciousness,
eat?
You know, something that feels pain.
So if we grow the meat... Just the meat, then would vegans eat it?
Mate.
Some would, some wouldn't, I guess.
I think I think some would, some wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, detaching the consciousness that this little mm-hmm. animal experiences, whereas you could grow a slab.
Yes, of just steak.
If you grow a lamb leg.
Yes.
That wasn't attached to a little brain mm-hmm. and all of that.
Strange, isn't it?
It's so strange, but this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, man.
I went down a rabbit hole on the Internet Archive. You probably saw it over the weekend.
Yeah. What does that look like? How does one get to that place? And how would one get there? Who would they speak to if they wanted to do a version?
What do you mean?
Like if you're just...
So you just go to the Internet Archive.
Which is... You talk about it like it's fucking Google. Yes. Most people don't know about it. You can look back on the internet.
Yeah, if you just type in Internet Archive.
Didn't know about it until you, Josh.
And then you type in your name or if you've got a specific website. And so I went through. So I'd always been looking at joshjanson.com. That would be like when I was feeling nostalgic. But then I did just a general search on me and went through all my old websites.
And you're connected with George Saros, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And so I do you remember Posterous?
Posterous.
Mm-hmm. So Posterous.
So you get a mistress through the post? What is Posterous?
Posterous was a blogging platform in the mid-2000s. Their big selling point was you can email to blog. So the idea was you would get, and we see this now, like our Asana or things like that have this technology built in. But they worked out a way of creating an email address that was unique to you that couldn't be easily spoofed, where if you wanted to post on your Posterous, you could send an email to your blog and it would automatically post.
I mean, it's if this and that, I like it. I screenshot one of your mm-hmm. posts. Can we go down memory lane for a moment?
Sure, yeah.
We've probably lost Stella and her mates. This is a blog post by Josh Jansen. From January 7th, 2008. What's it called? Mm-hmm. Have a guess.
I can't remember. I don't know. Which one is it?
Addiction.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A box of orange chocolate sticks and 3 Tim Tams later, I feel that I may be addicted to chocolate. I feel shit now. I used to be addicted to soft drink. Fat was the result of that. And I'm determined for this addiction to come, go, and not gain weight from it. If you go back a few blog posts, you'll see my getting ripped challenge. Let's be honest, it was silly. I mean, Christmas, New Year, cheese platters, dip, chocolate, pav, and the occasional lemon, lime, and bitters. It's not too late to recover, though. I'm recharging my iPod as I write this to recharge the drive that was there only a few weeks earlier.
What does that mean?
Because you went, I liked it because you're recharging your iPad. You want to recharge iPod. You want to recharge the drive that was there a few weeks earlier. Yeah. You're trying to be clever. It's cute. I am really scared that I'll get fat again. I'm not letting that happen. It's not hard. Let's think. I just need 45 minutes a day to run and exercise. I was a member of Casey Ark for over a year and probably haven't used the membership in 6 months. So fuck that. I can do the exercise around the neighborhood and save 50 to 60 bucks a month. Casey Ark has also pissed me off, charging me more as they don't know that I'm still concession and they have to do, all they have to do is ask as I'm still a student. Fuckers. Anyway, I'm off for a run. I'm pumped. Seriously, if I have a bottle of water, a good pair of running shoes and an iPod, I can do it. Bye-bye. Stop being fat and do something. Kidding, but seriously, do something, you fat shit. So this is almost like a note to self, but on a public platform.
Yeah.
And did anyone read them? Did you have anyone?
I don't know. It's pretty dark. It's very diary entry. Like that I think is, that, yeah. I would go very, very much. But posterous, yeah. So what do you take from that? I mean, I haven't changed much at all, have I? Very consistent. It's always obsessed about water, how much water I'm drinking. All I need is fucking, I'm dehydrated.
Literally, your whole flashback was.
Fighting with the gym.
You could have come out and said that those were from today.
Yes.
Like you could have legit said, oh, I wrote these.
Yeah.
On my weekend off.
But then there was around the same time. So, that was on my blog. So, that was like a WordPress blog. But then on Posterous, around the same time, I think it sort of been 09. I said, why you need a blog? It seems that as Facebook becomes more ubiquitous, people are relying on it more and more as their only host for content. In this short audio post, so I had put an audio post. I wish I could hear the audio, but it didn't
say. You can't get it anymore?
No. I give some of my concerns with relying solely on Facebook and some of the advantages of starting your own blog. Facebook has recently introduced an export function allowing users to export all their content from the website. But is it enough to keep you from creating your own unique identity online? So, I mean, I've been very consistent in that regard. Critical of social media. I did this audio thing. There used to be a thing which I would use a service called TweetMic, and it was like imagine Twitter, but it was all audio, and so it would connect up to. Do you remember? Did you ever use Twitter like back in the day, early days?
Well, I've still got it.
Okay,
it's about as much. Yeah.
So you remember? Do you remember TwitPic? So you never used to be able to actually host photos, videos, anything like that on Twitter. You'd have to use a third party.
And it had the link to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, TweetPic. Yeah, I remember
TweetPic or whatever. But yeah, there was one called TweetMic, which you would record a tweet. So I would just do a 5-minute rambling, basically like a podcast, and then you would click send and it would go to Twitter and people would listen to the audio.
Interesting.
But I mean, after you reading the social media thing, the Facebook, the need a blog, you and I were talking. And I think the thing is that you see the patterns. You see that I've been pretty consistent on the problem throughout the whole, like for the last 15 years.
Oh, 100%. Which you always like to point out, the consistency thing. It's like, well, because you can't say I'm fucking crazy, but I've been consistent. I've always said you're a fuckhead. No, you just don't listen to your own advice because that's literally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's the constant struggle. It's the tension. And so for some people, they'll figure it out really quickly and others, they won't. I think, I'm getting closer and closer to aversion. Like I am think about how many times I've gotten off social media. Think about, and so even, you know, versions of that of just back and forth. It's like, it's highly addictive. Like I'll watch, like I probably watched maybe 5 hours over the weekend on people quitting social media. So just YouTube videos.
Surely you have to take action after that. Otherwise, you don't get the 5 hours back.
No, well, like, the thing is, it's all building. It's building the
to what?
Hypothesis. So it's like building the thinking. And it's, but the same thing happens every, like these people, they all have the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, I went back on and then I got off again. Like it's a highly addictive thing.
It's crack.
Yeah. But
social media is crack.
Yeah, but deleted it off my phone.
That's good.
And definitely, it's a, I had one of those weekends where it's like my perfect weekend. And I just, I obviously call bullshit. Like, you know, it's a perfect weekend. I've charged my Kindle. My Kindle's, or you know, my working. I sharpened my pencils. So when I'm reading, I'm like, when I'm, as I read, like how to read water, I can underline bits. I've got my nearly bought a new journal to do daily writing.
You've got
writing.
One upstairs. It's great. The one that I complimented the paper.
Well, yeah. So Bree got me a really nice one in a brown leather holder thing. Mm. And I nearly said, I was like, oh, I started in that one in December. I wrote in it once. And I used to do this as a kid. No, I was like, I need it to be fresh. I used to do this. I'd get an exercise. At least exercise books are like 99 cents. And so as a kid, if I would have an idea, I would say, Mum, can I have an exercise book? And she would get me one.
Yeah.
I would write one idea. It's like I've got a whole Moleskin at home, which is me analysing The Simpsons.
Oh, that's right. But you've got like 4 pages used or something.
Yes. But I can't switch it from an analysis of all The Simpsons episodes.
How do you go
to...
Yeah, I know.
To a daily
ripping out. I've tried.
Journal.
I've literally it ripped out pages of a Moleskin.
It falls
and
out.
It fucked up the back end.
Yeah.
I lost pages out the back.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I get you. But how do you call your bullshit? Because that's exactly what you're just stating right now is the bullshit is I know that what's easier is going to the shop to buy the Moleskin to feel like it's the new year. That's the trap of New Year, January 1. Fuck, I'm fired up in January 1.
Yeah.
But then 2 weeks later. And so I wonder if there's a, it's not like rejection therapy. It's like leaning in, like going, like I go towards the pain in everything where it's like the reason I don't want to write in this book is because it's not clear.
Mm-hmm.
Can I start writing in this book to prove myself wrong?
Like the other thing is, what is the other option? So I think there's definitely... I think a lot of people can relate to this. And I think that potentially why I trigger people is because I talk, there's a part of me which is just like, shut the fuck up, right? Like heaps. Like that's my default is, Josh, you've said this all before. But if you, like so for instance, if someone tries to quit smoking 20 times and they do it on the 20th time, that's the process that they had to go through.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that you could, if you tried to stop smoking 19 times and then called it on your bullshit, the calling of the bullshit would be like, oh, this quitting doesn't work. And so you would stop.
Mm.
And so if you get like closer and closer every single time to getting to the point of clarity with it, that's cool.
It's a good analogy. The tricky bit is that you don't even know if it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there is more in the quitting smoking thing. So the calling bullshit on why I don't actually stick at it, there's more reasons there.
Yeah.
That need addressing, which isn't to say cut out the quitting smoking.
Yeah.
Isn't to say I'll keep smoking. So it's I won't keep using social media. There's some other stuff in there. There's something in the way.
But smoking, I guess, doesn't have the thing with the social media thing is that the people that I was watching, it's like, oh, I'm a photographer and people say that the Instagram is your CV and now I don't have it anymore. And so it's a little bit more complex. One of the things I liked about Derek Sivers in Hell Yeah or No is he talks about criticism and how he wrote this blog post about switching, I think, from like PHP to Ruby on Rails, like the type of coding he was doing. He did a blog post, didn't have that many followers at the time, just writes his opinions on what he was thinking, goes to bed, wakes up, and it's on every tech blog and people are saying he's a fucking idiot and that he has no idea about coding. And what he realized was he was like having a reaction to it, just like, oh my God, like, look at what these people are saying about me.
Yeah.
And then what he realized was it's like, no, what people are talking about and to a paper cutout version of me.
Mm.
It's not me. And so there is something with all of these things that we share with the social media stuff or the like, any sort of criticism is not actually about us. It's about the character that we've performed online.
Mm.
Mm. And so I think that doing stuff in, even though this is like a very small version of a public eye, knowing that any comment, any feedback is not about us personally, but a version that we've done, which is part of the reason why we do it. It's like we do a version so it provokes, like maybe from someone from the conversation, from this conversation says, oh, you know what, like they can relate to it about the social media thing and be like, no, I don't need to do this. Or, oh, maybe I'll check out Derek Sivers and go on their own journey. Mm. But I think that that's been something that I've been battling with is it's like, shutting up is an interesting option. Mm.
Which is one strategy.
Yeah. But then, but it doesn't necessarily, like what's on the other, shutting up is the same idea of, I'm not going to do this thing because it's hard, or I'm not going to do this thing.
No, like, you've said it before. Shutting up could be, I'm not going to talk to people about it because I want to have a win for myself, which mm-hmm. is no one knows that I'm doing it. Therefore, there's no accolades. There's mm-hmm. no praise. It's like, it's not reliant on anyone other than me.
Yeah.
Not even my partner.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a hard thing. I was like writing out, like doing some daily journaling and then realized of like, I can't help but think, who's going to read this and like, what do they care about? And, or maybe this could be used for some other thing, or maybe I could create this into a website or a video series.
Yeah.
But this could be a podcast. And so like that is, you can see how that just becomes a thing. If you're a creator, that can become a thing of like, oh, well, like every, looking at every nook and cranny as an opportunity to create content rather than actually using it as the thing that's going to help you quietly. Yeah.
Is it a writer who is spell checking and doing their grammar as they go versus the writer who just goes and comes back to it? So it's like you getting, the allure of an idea that makes you fall down that hole mentally is pulling your focus away. Somewhat it could be productive. Otherwise it could be completely counterproductive to the thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
what's the outcome? I think that we're like hooked on outcomes.
Mm.
Like I think that and trying to avoid being hooked on outcomes and just enjoying the process is a lot.
It's harder than you think. Yeah, it's fucking tricky. Yeah.
Anyway.
Tricky.
Hi@thedailytalkshow.com is the email. Thank you to Yas. She sent through a documentary recommendation that I'm going to check out. I will report back.
Watch the Big E documentary too on Netflix. Oh, yeah. Did you listen to Big E growing up?
No.
No, don't listen. Don't watch it. Bad idea.
Okay. It's a Daily Talk Show. Have a good one, guys.
See you guys.